Hello and welcome again to the Pandia Arbitration Global podcast. Today I've got a good friend, Richard Olson, with me. Richard runs Pegasus Funding in the United Kingdom. And Pegasus Funding supports small and medium-sized enterprises in raising money to help their businesses grow and to use it for a variety of business use. Richard, hi.
Morning, Abs.
Hi. So tell me a little bit about Pegasus and how you got involved in Pegasus Funding and what your main sort of business operations are.
Well, Pegasus Funding has been going for over 15 years now. It was originally started as a partnership and then moved to sole trader, and we converted to a limited company just over 3 years ago. We're a commercial finance broker, so we specialise in raising finance for companies, generally SMEs, but it can be large companies as well. We are FCA regulated, and we're members of the National Association of Commercial Finance Brokers. We focus on providing our clients with the best and most competitive terms we can do in the marketplace, and I'll go into a bit of detail on that in due course, around debt funding, and we also look at potentially solutions for equity funding for clients as well.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And one of the things that I think we've spoken about before is how SMEs present themselves to lenders, because the SME lending market's quite tough. And I normally hear from clients that it's very difficult to raise funds from loans. And then most small businesses try and get on the equity route, but of course fail because they haven't got enough traction in the market or they don't have the sort of volume of sales to attract volume of sales revenue to track equity funding. So what are the key sort of things that SMEs should look out for in terms of presenting themselves to lenders?
Well, I think the biggest thing is it's how you go about approaching the marketplace. Invariably it's happened over time is that the first point of call for most businesses is to go to their bank who they do their everyday banking with. And if the answer is no, and quite often it is, then they go on the internet and they look up the first company that comes across and they present themselves in a certain way to that particular lender. And if that company says no, they just move to the next lender, and et cetera, et cetera. A more considered approach is, well, number one is, are you right in going to your own bank in the first place? Are they the most appropriate person? They should be. They should give you the most competitive rates. But in real terms, they don't have to be the most competitive. Also, if you're going out and then approaching alternative funders, what information are you presenting? Are you presenting it in the right way? How can we get to a position where actually we've got your business being fought for, in effect, and actually it is a case of getting the best terms in the marketplace as opposed to the only terms in the marketplace. The other thing is actually planning for finance. Too many small businesses actually look for finance invariably when they've got themselves into a problematic situation. The importance of cash flow forecasts, accurate management accounts cannot be underestimated. And that's quite a large part of what we do with our clients, is actually getting together the right pack of information on day one to enable them to actually go out and present themselves in the right way. But we present them to the lenders in that instance. And what we endeavour to do is to get them between 3 and 5 different sets of terms that can get them to obtain the best and most competitive terms in the market. There are lots of things to watch out for when you're dealing with lenders. Their terms vary considerably. It's not just about the headline interest rate or the amount of borrowing, but it's actually about the terms and conditions sitting behind that. You know, is there a personal guarantee required? Is there a securement required on personal property? Have they thought about personal guarantee insurance? There's a whole raft of things that SMEs need to be looking at when they're actually trying to find funding.
Oh, interesting. So let's take an example. Let's say I run a restaurant. Well, I run 3 restaurants. I'm in my company. I've got managers in each of them, and now I'm looking to expand to the 4th and 5th restaurant. I've seen 2 fantastic new sites. I'm very excited about prospects. What would be the sort of first thing that we would have to do? So we come along to your offices and say, look, we want to raise, let's say, £500,000.
I think in essence, it's all about how's your current business trading. You know, the first thing that any funder is going to look at is how are you performing already? And if you're not making a lot of money, then they're going to question whether actually you can afford to run yet another place. And how does the management team scale up to cope with management of the 4th restaurant? You know, have you got the skills in-house? Do you need to bring in external skills? So it's not a simple case of just looking at what a forecast might be, there's a lot more information that's required, especially with regards to restaurants, retail in general. But if you look at a more, I suppose, traditional manufacturing business as an alternative to that, their requirements generally around new product development, new capital expenditure. Generally, they've got a balance sheet that's been built up over time. People can see something physically that gives them comfort. There is a business there with some substance behind it, that in the event of in the event of there being any issues, there is something tangible that they can go after. So that's the most important thing from a client perspective. So it's all about how you present the information to funders.
So will that be securities as in physical assets in the company, or they're looking at how the company spends its cash, or a bit of both, or are there private guarantees? And because my understanding is the easiest way for people to get money is by putting their house on the line as a guarantor as an SME. I mean, a director of an SME would normally sort of say, well, you know, I'm willing to put my personal assets on the line.
And a lot of people do, but the majority will actually try for something called an unsecured personal guarantee in the first instance. The reality of that is that although it's technically unsecured, in the event of default, for whatever reason, they are still going to go after your personal assets. Obviously, a secured guarantee gives them first right over that particular property, and there's less incentive for them to actually try and come to an arrangement with yourselves. But in most cases, you could be talking about a debenture over the company assets in the first point of view, backed up with a personal guarantee. Remember, personal guarantees are also negotiable, so they aren't fixed in stone. It isn't the case of, you know, you've got a £250,000 loan, therefore you should have a personal guarantee of £250,000. It really depends on the lenders. Certain lenders are requiring you to take out a full personal guarantee. You should always get independent legal advice when signing a personal guarantee, something that actually not all lenders insist upon.
Interesting. So for the restaurant business, the debenture over the assets would be, what would that be? Would that be sort of stock, wine, alcohol, physical sort of, what are we talking about?
I love the fact you've chosen probably one of the harder areas of the market to actually fund. But but in terms of a company such as that, you would think there'd be cash in business, so a bank account. There would be, you're right, stock, which consists of a variety of things. There could be the lease itself, which is technically an asset. So there are a variety of different assets that could be talked into play here. I mean, we get this when we're quite involved with mergers and acquisitions, and we see that happening, and we will probably start to see that happening more and more. But when people are looking to acquire another business, one of the things they're looking at is, how can I use the assets of the company I'm going in to acquire to fund this deal? So they're looking at, is there any plant and machinery? Is there a debtor book? You know, outstanding invoices to business customers, not retail customers, because retail customers, typically you can't chase retail customers in quite the same way you can with a business to business consumer.
Sure.
Or sorry, customer. There's stock, there's trade, there's all sorts of things that actually you potentially can fund against. So we look at something called asset-based lending to do that, and that's one of the ways we do it. And possibly with a debenture, possibly backed up with a cash flow loan. There's lots of different ways that we can help fund clients. But it's about putting together the right package of solutions. Quite often, clients come in with a view of how to solve the problem, and we give them an alternative way of funding it.
Yeah, interesting. So it's currently, we've seen the sort of global economy slow down a lot with the coronavirus. Has that affected, that's bound to affect SMEs in terms of, particularly in the retail sector, with less customers going out into the shops and so on. And this is a time when people are going to be sort of thinking, well, maybe I need a loan to bridge myself over this difficult period. How do you think coronavirus is going to be affecting the lending market?
Well, we're already seeing the coronavirus affecting the lending market. We've seen actually a couple of smaller lenders actually pause their lending currently, which is quite a worrying trend personally. I think it's in a time when you most need lenders to be around, to find out that certain lending institutions are actually stopping lending is not good at all, because we need the free flow of money in this economy. The government has announced that we can now have this business interruption loan. This has replaced the old enterprise finance guarantee scheme, a scheme which already gave the banks an 80% guarantee. It still requires there fundamentally to be a sound business with good projections, but it's a business that has potentially been turned down by other banks or wouldn't have been looked at because there's a lack of security, for example. Security, i.e. it's a non-homeowner. So there is funding there, but it's only funding for the right businesses. They're still looking for strong businesses to fund. So at the moment, what is not clear is actually what the government's going to do if they are, for example, closing down or potentially going to close down pubs, clubs, theatres, cinemas, etc. And they've effectively said you shouldn't be going out. That's almost like closing the door. How are they going to help those businesses through this troubled time? You know, there should be some way of extra money flowing into the economy to support these businesses.
Interesting. So what do you see in terms of when people come to you for funding, what are the five or six or three or four common red lights where you say, well, you know, that's just not going to work because you haven't covered these basics? What are the basics that people regularly fail to cover?
There's a number of things. One is not telling the whole story at the beginning and feeling that actually they're being quite clever because they're not telling you the full story. The honest answer is, if they tell us a full story, warts and all, then we can actually plan for it and we can go and talk to funders about it. But sometimes people try to be a little bit clever and think that I won't mention about CCJ or the fact that I had a problem, I liquidated a previous company or this or that. And actually all they're doing is they are putting up a potential roadblock. So if we go into a funder and we don't have relevant information, then if the funder finds out from checks that they can do, which we're unable to do, that certain information exists on that credit file for that individual or that company, then they're just going to reject it. However, if I've walked in a scenario where I'm presenting the fact that there has been this problem, this is how they've overcome it, et cetera, they're prepared to look at it in a much more favourable way and actually consider it. Now, that is a massive red light to us. We've also had issues in the past with companies who have actually issued their own set of accounts and filed them on Companies House. We've addressed that within actually some of the paperwork we produce with clients now. And it's another one of those items that you have to carefully check. But invariably, it's silly things that catch people out. It's not so much a case of most companies should be able to have a certain management account. If they have no management accounts, there's a serious red light there. That's a big one. No filed accounts. That's another important one. You know, not being able to put their hands on the aged debtors, aged creditors list. You know, these are basics that any business should have in the well running of their business. Understanding of cash flow requirements.
Yeah, interesting. That's extremely useful, Richard. Thank you for that. So Richard is available at www.pegasusfunding.co.uk. That's Richard Olson. I hope that people have found that extremely useful. I certainly have found it very informative. Thank you, Richard, for coming on the podcast. Well, and if you've got any questions or queries, please email them to us as well if you wish to, and we can pass them on to Richard for you. Thank you very much, Richard.
Thank you very much, Hans.
Thanks. God bless. Thanks.